We welcome you to a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. The subject is Guide to Christian Growth, and your instructor is C. Ernest Tatham, one of the founders of the Emmaus Bible College. Yes, this is a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible and discover what God has to say to us through His Word.
Christian friends, again it's our privilege to be together to study our final lesson, lesson number 12, in this very practical course that has been under our consideration now for some time, entitled Guide to Christian Growth. Now, lesson number 12 deals with the practical subject of the call to full-time service. Scripture makes very clear that every believer has a gift. He has a spiritual enablement, a capacity for doing the will of his God in a way that's perhaps peculiar to himself. Now, in connection with this call to full-time service, the manual rightly points out that in one sense, every believer should be a full-time worker for the Lord. Whatever his daily tasks may be, he should be doing all as unto him. For example, God wants Christian taxicab drivers. Right. He wants Christian barbers, Christian plumbers, Christian carpenters, Christian doctors, Christian lawyers, Christian stenographers, Christian nurses, and Christian mothers. So, whatever it may be, there is a sense in which every one of us who knows Christ is in full-time work. It may not be that we're giving all of our time to preaching and propagating the gospel. Nevertheless, we're all called upon to live in a full-time way for His praise and for His glory. Now, Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the page is blurred? These are searching verses indeed. Now, it cannot be overemphasized that following conversion, the Lord Jesus sends us back to our own particular, our own particular world. By that I mean our own setting, our own environment, in order that we might be witnesses for Him. And before anyone is called to full-time work, he must do as the Lord said. He must, as it were, begin at Jerusalem. Do you remember in the commission, as recorded in Luke 24, the risen Christ said that those disciples were to begin at Jerusalem. Now the question is, where is my Jerusalem? My home, my family, my little sphere of influence, for we all have that, is the place where we're to begin living for our Lord, demonstrating by our lives that He is alive and real, and then witnessing with our lips as to His boundless grace. I like the poem that emphasizes my responsibility to the lost that are all around me. May I share it with you? Dear Christian, are you sighing because you cannot go to lands across the ocean the love of Christ to show? Just cast your eyes about you. There's more than you can do. Begin right with the heathen who live next door to you. To those who cross the ocean to serve the Savior there, we give our means with gladness and hold them up in prayer. But when you've prayed and given, don't think that you are through. Get started with the heathen who live next door to you. They may be lovely people, and good as they can be, yet never know the meaning of Christ at Calvary. God means for you to tell them, for if you only knew, that's probably the reason they live next door to you. They may be open sinners. Don't haughtily pass by with righteous indignation. Why did the Savior die, if not for just such people? His grace will see you through. So tell them of the Savior, those folks next door to you. And every day you're meeting at home or on the street, some souls that you may ne'er again this side of heaven meet. Suppose no other Christian will pause their souls to woo. I'd say, and don't you think so, the job was up to you. That neighbor who stopped in today, that beggar at the door, the paper boy, insurance man, the people in the store. They're every one as precious, as worthwhile speaking to as those across the ocean, those folks next door to you. This life is so uncertain. The soul you meet today may be in hell tomorrow, and at the judgment day, that soul may say to Jesus, "That Christian, well I knew, she never told me of your love," and put the blame on you. And so, dear fellow Christian, don't waste God's precious time in wishing you could carry his word to some far clime, but start today and tell it to Gentile and to Jew. And don't neglect the heathen who live next door to you. Now may I read the testimony of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll read verses 16 and then 18, 19 through 22. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And then, verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself the servant of all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. It's impossible to read this paragraph from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 without catching something of the urgency that possessed the soul of this great man, Paul. He said he was preaching the gospel not because of some external pressure, but because of an internal fire. Necessity had laid hold on him, and even pronounces a woe upon himself if he does not preach the gospel. Now then, if you and I are going to be used of our Lord in a full-time way, it's important to understand something of the nature of a missionary call. The manual points out that sometimes the Lord speaks to us through someone else. It's described sometimes as a tap on the shoulder. Perhaps a word from some seasoned Christian might confirm an exercise that is already in our heart. A burden is upon our own souls for a certain ministry. And as we discharge that ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, it may be and could well be that the Lord will lead us on. You know, he doesn't provide us with a blueprint and a pattern of our life at the beginning. We would love to have that in advance so that we can sketch and scan the whole thing and understand the end from the beginning. But the Lord doesn't do that. He leads us just a step at a time. And as we take that one step in obedience to him, then he opens another door and then another and so on. Now, a true missionary call comes, I think, from four directions. Do you want to make a note of this? A true missionary call comes from above, from within, from around, and even from below. Now, let me amplify this. A true missionary call comes preeminently from above. That's the first word, from above. This is emphasized by Paul in his declaration to his friends of the Galatia churches. You remember how he opens Galatians? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That's Galatians 1 and verse 1. And then he says in verse 12, concerning the gospel, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul was not an apostle of men so far as source is concerned, nor by man so far as authority was concerned. He did not wait for some board to ordain him or to send or dispatch him. He received the call from his risen Lord. It is of the greatest importance that you and I be in daily, constant touch with our great commander in chief, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, who speaks to us and gives us our ministry. So the call comes from above. Secondly, it comes from within. There is such a thing as the burden of the Lord. The Old Testament prophets were constantly talking about the burden of the Lord. This is difficult to define. And yet, my friends, all of us who've been in touch with heaven are conscious of it. A burden, a constant weight upon the heart, a concern for a person, a particular area. It may be children's work, it may be women's work, it may be mixed work, it may be work among certain non-evangelized heathen tribes overseas. Whatever the burden is, this, if it's a constant burden on the heart, we can be pretty sure it comes from the divine spirit. And then third, a call comes from around. That is, it comes from the human level often. Here is Paul and his friends, his associates at Troas. The story is spelled out in Acts 16. And in a vision of the night, Paul saw a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So the call sometimes comes from around, from others. And then finally, the call comes from even from below. This story, or this truth, is emphasized in Luke 16, 27 and 28, where we have a man who's in a lost eternity crying for someone to go to his loved ones and to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It may mean that he wants you to start a coffee for women in your neighborhood. Thousands of these are in progress, and God is greatly blessing them. And then it may be a home Bible class with a few gathering in your home. Whatever it may be, let us look to our Lord and say with Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? May the Lord bless you as you humble yourself and listen to his voice, and then launch forth in dependence upon him. This is your teacher, Cyrnus Tatum, saying, God bless you and make you a blessing.